Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations. Committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
the land of I am. I am more than I have been. I am more than I will be. I am. That is your true identity. The identification of the entity called you. I am. That's who I am. That's who I'm here. We started the show with Carly Jackson. It's a nice, powerful affirmation. And I just want to play again. Carly Jackson, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. You can find her on Facebook. And now, what you're hearing underneath me is Ricky Byers Beckwith in the land of I am. Life is good, it's getting better. It truly is. To find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, her website address is weletitbe.com. Weletitbe.com. When you recognize, when you remember who you are, that I am that I am, you don't have to trip. You just let it be. Weletitbe.com. You can also go to agapelive.com, agapelive, L-I-V-E. com to find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, Michael Bernard Beckwith, all the great and wonderful things they're doing to heal humanity and make a difference in the world. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're here. And then once you fully awake, wow, you transform the world. Just you. Just you. You will transform the world. But you got to awake. You got to connect with nature. You got to look around and breathe in the breath. Feel the warmth of the sun. Hug a tree. Connect with the roots, your ancestors, and say, yes, I am here for something great. I didn't just fall out of the sky. I'm not an accident. I am here to do something amazing. Don't distract me. I got things to do. I got stuff to do. Yes, yes, yes. No matter what is going on, you got to remember this. It's so important.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
You say that affirmation to yourselves in the morning, daily, when things look kind of shaky, when you're in a mess. You say that affirmation to yourself, you will catch the message. When you catch the message, guess what? You know it. You become the messenger of love. So don't run from the mess. Recognize that you are so much more than what you see with your physical eyes. Carly Jackson, you are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, and I'm excited. And this is a manifestation of a deep desire, an intention, a dream. Because I've been tracking Brother Ishmael Tete a long time. When we had the radio show in England, I was trying to get an interview. I've been trying. So today is actually a good day for me to celebrate myself. Okay, give me a minute. Let me just celebrate this moment. I am grateful for all that life is. Okay, sorry, I just had to celebrate myself there. And I want to celebrate Celeste, Reverend Doreen, everybody that supported us in making this moment happen. I am truly, truly grateful. Ask Life Coach Ade. We're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, 12 to 1:30 p.m. is the official time. So we finish with the guests around 1:20, 1:25, 1:30 sometimes. But, you know, we do our best. But it depends on the energy after the guest is gone or if they want to stay. We stay a little bit longer. So, but actually, speaking of staying longer, today we may have another surprise guest. I think we may have Wendy Silvers join us. She's the founder of Million Mamas Movement, and they're doing an event this Sunday, Mother's Day. So she'll probably join us around here. Maybe we're working on it. Well, we've We're just letting it happen. We've done what we need to do. She's trying to work it out, and we'll just trust the process. Wendy Silver might be joining us, so that's around 1:30. But we have Brother Ishmael Tete. I got to contain myself. Yesterday we had Sibonfu Soumaye. Now we have Brother Ishmael Tete, and it's about bringing the messages of Mother Nature to activate your spiritual nature. You will never be the same after this conversation. I promise you. That's the intention that we set. You'll never be the same again after this conversation. That is the prayer. That is the truth. So let me give you some announcements. The shows are archived. So if you miss part of it or you want to hear it again, you can come back and listen to the show. You can download it. There's an iTunes button. Just click that button. Click the button and take you to the iTunes page and download it onto your iPod, iPad. I don't care where you download it. I just know that you will not be the same when you listen to the shows with True Life Conversations Radio. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for your questions and anything you want to share with Brother Ishmael Tete. He's in the house, Glenda's in the house, Donna's in the house, Cece's in the house, Monique is in the house. Monica. Who's Monique? I don't know. But maybe Monique is in the house. Laura's in the house. Monica's in the house. Kefra is in the house. Tamara Joy's in the house. All these folks are in the house. Silent listeners, this guy says, Jeff, welcome, welcome. And we welcome all of you that are listening to this show right now on the archive. Because when you're listening to it, it will be right now. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes to your life. Thank you for tuning in so that you don't miss out. Because if you don't tune in, you miss out. let's see, other announcements. Let's see, what else is happening in Life Conversations Radio? Because I'm ready to jump into this conversation. So we have Wendy Williams joining us on Monday. Yes, we do. Wendy Williams. You know her? No. You do? No, not that Wendy Williams, not the talk show host. No, not yet. Let me work with my energy first. It's about me. But this is a different Wendy Williams. She's the author of Globalization of Love. And she's talking about multicultural romance and marriages and how, you know, the differences and things we need to learn about one another, the advantages, the gift, the challenges. Globalization of Love. And on Tuesday we have Linda Howe talking about the Akashic Records. We're going to be looking at the sacred wounds that can help us evolve and transform. We have Colette Baron Reed. That's all I'm going to share with you right now. All the information is on lifeconversationsmedia.com. lifeconversationsmedia.com. You can find out about upcoming guests, past guests, and all that good stuff. We're taking your calls today, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And we're also taking your questions. If you can't call in because you're at work and you've got the volume down and you don't want your boss to know you're listening, but you wanted to make sure you hear Brother Ishmael Tete, you've always heard about the show, but today you have to listen, well, you can do Facebook. If you're not blocked, that is. If you go to Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page, and you can post your question on there, and we will get to it. If you don't have a Facebook, if your job is so boring and they just don't want you socializing with people, they don't understand the power of community, that's okay. We're not going to judge them. We have an alternative. You can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and there's a tab, Ask Life Coach Ade. Click that tab and fill in the email, and we'll address your question on air. But it's best to just call in, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. I feel myself getting excited, but as you know, I'm not tired to get excited. I'm usually calm and cool and collected, but, you know, I have an African mystic in the house. It's hard not to be excited. Let's see. I think that's everything. Oh, one more thing. 1 o'clock. We have the segment with Celeste Morgan, Celestial Moment, at 1 o'clock or around 1. So stay tuned for that. Let's see. Now it's time to welcome my brother Ishmael Tete. Let's see. Let me read a little bit about him first. And what I'm about to read is doesn't really touch me. It's just it's like a little speck of what who he really is. He's so much more. There we go. Let's pull this up. I think I told you everything I had to tell you right now. Okay, Brother Ishmael Tete, an African mystic, is the founder and director of Ethereum Mission, a transdenominational metaphysical organization dedicated to spiritual enlightenment and study of the natural sciences. The only title he prefers to have is brother, because, as he puts it, he has a vision of an age when there will be no titles to spell rank, no demarcation to divide men, when all will know themselves as legitimate children of God, belonging to the great brotherhood of life. That tells you a lot about him, but I'm going to read a little bit more. He's a gifted healer, a naturopath, a spiritual mind scientist, and an international speaker and teacher of the spiritual mind sciences. He is the developer of a unique spiritual mind science called soul processing, a spiritual tool for the total cleansing of the mind of the deep-rooted causes of irrational fear, anger, grief, depression, and for the activation of spiritual ability. Whew, I need a session. Stop it. He has 22 published books. Woo! Some people are struggling to write 22 pages. He has 22 published books and over 100 spiritual tools and workshops for life reprogramming, stimulation of creativity, mental and emotional cleansing, and self-healing, self-help audios. He has also participated in several radio and TV discussions in Ghana, UK, and the United States on topics relating to religion, healing, and social peace. And all the Agape listeners, you know that he's a regular guest. He's not even a guest. He's a regular. He's a regular. Let's just leave that. He's not a guest at Agape. That's home. That's his home away from home. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful brother, Brother Ishmael Tete. Yes, indeed, Brother Ishmael, how are you doing today?
Much better than wonderful. Thank you so much.
Ooh, I like that. Better than wonderful. Ooh, Lord. Okay, can you just sprinkle some of that on all of our listeners right now so they can feel that energy? Life is good. It's getting better. I just read a little bit about you from your bio.
Yes.
Website. Before we go into this conversation, into this spiritual healing that's about to take place, I want to ask you, from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Brother Ishmael Tete?
I am a universal citizen, and I come from Africa, so nature is my teacher. I am the life of the life of life, because there is only one life of me in the life of everyone. That is my total introduction.
Yes, that's it. I know it. I hear it. I just want to welcome. I'm so grateful.
And a little update on your my bio. I believe my 26th book is out.
Wow. Yes, it keeps going, right? 26.
It's called Social Life Education, which teaches the knowledge of the self for you to know who and what you are in your gender, persona, and senses. And when you know who and what you are in your gender, persona, and senses, that becomes your spiritual GPS that navigates you in life.
Yeah, you never get lost again.
No.
Always be on time, on the right path, at the right time, do what you need to be doing. So is your current book, The Way Forward? Is that the current book?
That's the 22nd book.
Oh, wow. Okay, I got The Way Forward, Nature's principles and practices for empowered living.
Yes.
So today we want to talk about nature as a teacher, and we, you know, that's the foundation. That's the, you know, just the theme of the conversation. But we're free to go wherever we want to go because it's about what people want to hear, and I think energetically the request has been made. So let's talk about nature as a teacher. You said nature is your teacher. And in the West, we sometimes forget about nature. We don't even remember or recognize or see the trees that are around us or the flowers or the sky. We just kind of disconnected because we're busy. Can you tell us what you mean when you say nature is your teacher?
If we will consider that before we came here to planet Earth, with whatever spaceship of body that you chose to come here with, if you will consider that this planet is like a mother inviting us to come and experience the wonderful, magical adventure called life, then we will realize that this planet itself is a living being. It lives, it thinks. Without the air, you cannot live. And even if you run away and hide, the air will be there seeking you to breathe you in and out. In fact, not breathe, life breathes you in and out. So the life power that knows how to breathe you in and out must be intelligent. When we watch nature, we realize that there is intelligence, there's intelligence in everything, and there's an intelligent purpose for everything happening. Mm-hmm. How can we therefore think that we can know it better than nature itself, that has experimented with itself over billions of years and perfected itself in principles? We need to go back to nature and ask nature, in what way do you intend us to live?
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, mm-hmm. there was a tsunami, and from the news we heard, the animals, the sheep and the cattle, started running to higher grounds very early, and those who were wise human beings followed the sheep and the cattle, so they saved their lives. What is it that made the sheep and the cattle know that there was going to be a tsunami and they must move to a different place? They are in tune with nature. How come that we have lost that ability to listen to nature, hear nature, know nature's warning signs, and know what nature intends us to do? The mother that invited us here, she is hosting us here, and we must give respect to her and understand how things operate in her home. Then we will enjoy our vacation and the adventure on Mother Earth. In the book that you have, I've outlined the 18 principles of nature. And when you live by these principles, in fact, the first three principles are enough to change your core philosophy and bring it in alignment with nature. I encourage my listeners to listen to me from the heart because I have the best Americanese accent coming from Africa. I recall the first time I was in this country and I wanted to enter into the toilet. Nobody knew what the toilet was. I was told to go to the restroom. After a long battle, I went to the restroom thinking I'm going to find chairs and bed, but I found the toilet. So I've known some few good Americanese words to use. However, please listen to me from the heart.
Yeah.
But coming back to the book, the first three principles are enough to align your core philosophy in harmony with nature. It seems to me that religion was brought to humanity as an invention of a power outside nature to save us from nature. So we are presented with a God to save us from nature. In African spirituality, we don't have God and nature. We don't have God and something. We have God as all things. Because African spirituality is based on life. And without the water, the crops will not grow, so we believe that water is an aspect of God. Without the air, without the sunlight, without the earth itself, the crops will not grow, So all these are aspects of life. And when we can touch God in the air we breathe and in the water we drink in, then we know that we are having mystical. Mystical means direct connection with God.
Mm.
Everybody has what I call core philosophy. It is what produces your thinking. It's what produces your behaviors and attitudes. And there are so many works and books out there to help you change your attitude. But I tell you, it's an uphill task. Mm. The easiest is to simply bring your core philosophy in harmony with nature. And is it okay to start sharing some of the principles of nature? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is it okay to share some of the principles of nature?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, but actually, before you do that, though, because when I was reading your book, when you talk about a core philosophy, it really rings true for me. I think if you could just break that down a little bit more about the core philosophy, because, you know, I've heard people say, well, after I've been meditating, I go to retreats, I read this book, and I'm still struggling. I can't seem to have my relationship. I want to be with somebody, but I'm still struggling. And I think it's important to understand what you mean by the core philosophy, before we go into the principles.
You see, the core philosophy is not something that you can say, this is what it is. But it is your consciousness. It is what produces your thinking. What makes you think the way you think different from somebody else is coming from a core philosophy that you have about life. When we come to the principles, I believe we shall understand the core philosophy much better. Because then you will know that you're living with a principle, a philosophy that is not in harmony with nature. And the collective principles, ideas you have created, your belief system from childhood, have become like a philosophy. So a person lives and believes that this is a cruel world. And when that is his or her core philosophy, that influences every thinking and every relationship. So when this person is relating with another, he or she is thinking, it's a cruel world, the person in front of me can hurt me. So you see, your core philosophy is bringing you all of those suspicions, fears, unneeded angers. I ask people, whenever I'm having a workshop, I say, how many of you have experienced regret before? And of us all hands. Regret implies that you had the ability to do the right thing, however you did the wrong thing. What is it that stopped you from doing the right thing when you had the ability to do it? I call it spiritual and mental virus. And these viruses are self-created, and they interfere with your thinking. As we grow older and older, we're supposed to be more mentally alert and mature. But for most people, the mind starts failing. And that's because the mind is filled with virus. If you can think of computer virus, when you have just little information in your computer, a computer virus can bloat everything in your computer and the hard drive will be full. When the hard drive of your mind and feeling of your psyche is filled with the viruses of fear, hate, anger, pity, petty, partying, consciousness, did you hear that? Pity, petty party. There are people who are always being having party and discussing how pitiful they are, how pitiful life is, some pain, some problem.
Right. The misery love company syndrome. It's
yes.
Like, my life is horrible. No, my life is more horrible than yours. That's nothing.
Yes,
we try to outdo each other.
So whose life is more horrible? That is pity, petty party. And all these are coming from a belief system you have created from childhood, which is not in harmony with nature. For example, the first principle of nature states that life is about pain. P-A-I-N. Pain. Whenever I say this, many people, especially in New Thought, will say, no, this is not true. In Christian churches, they say, no, Jesus came to die for us, we shouldn't be in any pain. In life, when you observe, everybody is running away from pain.
Mm-hmm.
Either financial pain, physical pain, some social, psychological pain, and some spiritual pain. Everybody's running away from something. We're still having the old fight and flight syndrome from the dark ages, but this time in a mature way. And this time we are running away from some pain, from financial pain, from social pain, from psychological pain, physical pain. But this is what we need to know, that the law of the mind is that you merge with and become what you focus on. So what you are running away from, you run into, because you are focusing on it.
So you say what you're running away from, you run into.
You run into.
You're focused on it.
You're focusing on it.
Yeah.
When you say, I'm running away from this, you are focusing on it, so you will be running into it. So many people want a life in which they are comfortable, they are peaceful, and nothing hurts them. They want to live in life as though nothing must happen. They want to sneak through life unnoticed. You are not in life to be unnoticed. You are in life for something to happen. If you observe nature, no river goes to the ocean or its destination in straight path. It meets with obstacles. And when it meets with obstacles, it finds its way meandering to its destination. Such is life. You will meet with obstacles. Obstacles are not meant to stop you. Obstacles are meant to give you new direction through new territories. And when the water arrives at its destination, it is mature with all of the minerals that the destination would need. So when you go through pain, realize that life is about pain. Life, when Mother Earth invited us here, it didn't give us smooth earth. It gave us mountains and valleys. And when you can embrace the mountain, you can build wonderful spectacle and then you will enjoy it. Life is about pain, and we see demonstrated in nature that we have the force of gravity. It pulls everyone down. But without the force of gravity, you cannot play soccer, you cannot play football, you cannot play basketball. What pulls us down, by embracing the force of gravity, you fly. When you observe, and I will liken you to the ray of light and God to the sun, the ray of light wanted to experience all the potentials of the Father, Mother God, called the Son. And when the ray of light insisted over time, the sun warmed the earth and the waters rose and formed the clouds. So that when the light passes through the cloud, it breaks out the spectrum of its colors of love, peace, joy, intelligence, and creative power. The cloud is the necessary resistance, the necessary obstacle, the necessary pain for you to break out the spectrum of your potentialities. So life is about pain, but pain is not about you. Pain is about the activation and expression of your innate potentials. So when you go through pain, whether it is spiritual, social, psychological, physical, or financial, we all have that, these five regions of expression. You have your life quests are in five regions: spiritual, social, psychological, physical, and financial. So whether it is financial pain, physical pain, whatever pain you experience, simply pause and ask yourself, what is the greatest yet to be that life is calling me to express? Every invention we experience today came from pain, came from some obstacle, some challenge. Then somebody will ask, in what ways can this be changed to something bigger and beautiful? So somebody will have to think that force of gravity brings everyone down, but in what way can I fly? Pain always comes to call us to reveal another dimension of what would seemingly be impossible. 25 years ago, mobile phone was impossible. And to talk about mobile phone, you were mad. But somebody would have to say, in what way can this be possible? So you come to realize that life is about pain, but pain is not about you. So when you go through pain, bless the pain mention the name of the pain and bless it to reveal the goodness that it is here to express. Many people waste the time of pain because the pain comes and the pain ends and they've not learned anything, they've not become more. Mm-hmm. When you experience any pain and you don't become more, you wasted the time of pain.
not my time, but I wasted pain's time.
And pain, you wasted the time of pain as well. And pain doesn't feel comfortable for you to waste its time. So life is about pain, but pain is not about you. Obviously, we'll take care of the second principle.
Well, before we go to the second one, you know, you talk about pain. I feel, oh, my pain. Like, whoa, yes, my pain in my body. And you talk about five levels, the social, the physical, financial. It's like, wait a minute. Sometimes we go through experiences that are just too painful that we can't even think about pain. The idea of life is about pain. How do we break that mindset where we can, no matter how painful it feels, that we can embrace the gift, the lesson, the opportunity that pain is providing us?
The moment we change our philosophy into life is about pain, but pain is not about me, when the pain is there, something inside you rises and says, what is the great good that this pain is opening me to? So that takes you out of the pain instantly. You begin to look at the possibilities of good. When this pain has accomplished its divine mission in my life, what is the great good it is expressing? You begin to describe the wonderment or the possibility of the wonderment when pain has accomplished its mission. Instantly, you are no more in pain. Instantly, your consciousness is in the beauty, the glory that this pain is about to bring. Sometimes, human is painful. For example, when you are in physical pain because you've injured yourself, cry. It's hurting me. It's really painful. But I know that this pain is happening for me to rise to something good. Spiritual power of this pain. What is the highest good that you are calling me to? What potential in me are you inviting me to express? Instantly, your consciousness has changed. You are no more trapped in the pain. You no more suffer the pain. You suffer the pain when the pain is running your life, dictating your next thinking and your next movement. Then you are suffering it. But when you dialogue with the pain, when even it is physical pain, for example, if you're having cancer, start doing that. This now. Touch that pain every time and bless it and know that you are a divine child of my mother God. And I love you. And I want you to reveal and express the beauty that you are here to express. You don't curse the enemy. You bless the enemy. The evil you bless loses its power to hurt. The evil you curse curses you. The evil you bless blesses you with the good that you bless it with. Blessing is the release of the energy of good from a source to a target. So when you bless the evil releases the same energy to you sometimes twice or thrice. That's why the Master Jesus taught that bless your enemies. The enemy is generating negative emotion, and negative emotions are very strong. So you put right bullets in the gun of the negative emotion. Instead of destructive bullets, you put creative bullets in that gun. So the negative emotion is shot back at you. The bullet, the gun shoots, but the bullet is no more destructive bullet. The bullet is now a joyful bullet, a healing bullet. When you bless your enemies, you are actually making them instruments for your highest good. And you can only know how to bless your enemies when you know that life is about pain, but pain is not about you. So right in the pain, you are looking at what the good that is beyond the pain.
So even the statement, life is about pain, but pain is not about you, that's a conscious statement. That's
choosing to stay awake rather than sleep through life. So when we awake and we recognize that life is about pain, but pain is not about me, I become awake. I'm more in a receptive place to receive the gift, the opportunity to be a blessing, because pain has a blessing for me to pass on to others. Yeah, that definitely makes no sense. Okay, we're ready to move to principle number two.
Even though human beings do not want to experience pain, people are always running to their pastors, they are running to their places of retreats, just to run away from pain. Somebody help me, somebody save me. Even though people do not want pain, they actually create in their psyche a vessel to hold pain. They create a reservoir or a dam to hold on to pain. It's like they love their pain. They don't want to go out from their pain.
They'll fight for their pain.
Don't take my pain from me. Don't take my pain away from me. I love it.
Mm.
And they do it consciously. As you can see from principle one, if you're living in the life of I mustn't experience pain, you are always reactionary. You are always like, why is this happening to me? Somebody's against me. You're always afraid. You are having unnecessary fear, irrational fear and anxieties. It mustn't happen to me. Why me? Why me is the prayer of the selfish. Why me means not you, but it must happen to somebody else. But when you come to the awakening and you come to realize that life is about pain, but pain is not about you, you realize that everything is good. And I'll give some processes at the end of maybe the first three. We may not have enough time to go through all 18 principles, but I'll just touch the three and maybe give you a few processes that somebody can use and experience freedom. Probably right as I'm speaking, somebody will be healed. Right. Principle two states that no one owes you apology for any harm done to you. And no one owes you gratitude for any good you have done. In needing apology, you are actually saying that I want to live in the pain of the hurt done to me. I want to keep the hurt so I can amplify it, magnify it, and be able to tell my tale of sad story to the next person. And sometimes when the bitterness of that hurt seems to be going, you want to give it a new twist of interpretation so that the hurt is still there and strong because you are needing apology. Needing apology means one day, when you find somebody say, one day he will need me, one day you want him to crawl back to you. That is vengeance. You need an apology.
We need an apology because you said earlier about the childhood experience. What about somebody, I mean, this is very common where, well, particularly in the West, I don't know about Africa there are a lot of people who have been abused, sexually abused by their parents. And that pain, that emotional pain, that pain that goes so deep to the soul kind of stays with them. And there's a need, a desire for an apology for the person who abused them, who violated them, who you know, just literally ripped them of their creativity. So when you say needing an apology is to stay in that, how can someone
let
kind
me
of
explain
bring
it
that two together?
You will appreciate this principle of nature. Everybody's action or inaction started from where he or she was conceived, where he or she was raised, the parents, the caregivers, the teachers, the friends. I mean, billions of events have happened in a person's life to produce one action or inaction. The action or inaction was not planned to hurt you. Everybody has this experience that you intended to do something good, but you ended up doing it right. And you intended to do something good, but you ended up doing it wrong and you hurt somebody. You did not intend to hurt. You ended hurting somebody. You need, therefore, to know that that's how nature is. We all sometimes hurt even though we never intended to hurt. And actually, we are all victims of victims of victims. But if you go to the life of the rapist, you will notice that probably he too has suffered some pain in his childhood, in her childhood, and did not know how to handle it better because nobody helped him to know how to handle it better. see, so you have to break that victimhood chain to realize that no one owes me apology. His action or inaction is based on his or her limited knowledge and experience. Let's get that clear. Everybody's action or inaction is based on their limited knowledge and experience, which comes from their history. You are not the reason they did that wrong thing, even to you. Get this clear. You are not the reason somebody hurt you. And at the end of the day, you are entitled to you. You are not entitled to the causes that made the person do the wrong thing. You are not entitled to that. So therefore, you do not need to hold on to that pain, because the person's action or inaction was not directed at you. 90% of the time, you are hurt from your own interpretation and your own expectation of the event. Somebody may do something to you. Think of the interpretation you give to the event. The interpretation you give to the event causes you hurt. Now, somebody may pass by and say, look at him, some stupid man walking by. And you can interpret that this man who is saying, I am stupid, is actually a foolish person, and laugh and go on. Somebody too will hear the same thing and say, how dare you call me stupid? Two people are having different interpretation of the same thing.
Right.
Then you step into your magnificence, and somebody says, I'm stupid, go out and tell the sun, you are dark. It will continue to shine. So it is your interpretation, and there are thousands of interpretations you can give to something. Why don't you choose interpretations that honor you? Choose interpretations that honor you, and you will not be hurt by people's actions or inactions. Because remember, everybody's actions or inaction come from their limited knowledge and experience. You owe it to yourself to apologize when you realize that you have done something wrong. When you realize that 2 plus 2, you wrote 6, and you realize it's wrong, you do correction. But my dear, it takes some people a very long time before they wake up to realize that they have made a mistake. And you, who have given the interpretation and the expectation, and these are causing you hurt, you are living for 10 years, 20 years, waiting for somebody to wake up to realize his mistake, to come and say, I'm sorry, before you free yourself from the pain. You see, unforgiveness is you keeping your hand in the fire, expecting your enemy who hurt you to suffer.
Right.
So it is you who will have to know that you are responsible for yourself. And truthfully, if you go truthfully to the human spirit, we are essentially good. The action or inaction that causes you the hurt came from the person's limited knowledge and experience. An abused man lives in the world thinking that the right way to live is to abuse others. And you have also been abused by an abused person. But right now, I want to tell you that you are entitled to your goodness. You are entitled to your magnificent, wonderful, magical life. And you cannot trap yourself in the hurt or in the wrong somebody did. It is the best the person knows how, based on his limited knowledge and experience. And often, apology is very difficult for people, because whenever you were in somebody's bad books, the person will continue to talk about you, use all derogatory words against you, will continue to tell people how bad you are. So nobody wants to be in somebody else's bad book, which makes it difficult for somebody to come and say, I am sorry. And you cannot afford to live in the prison of the pain because somebody has done something wrong against you. Join the human race. Everybody experiences something wrong against them. By age 18, everybody has suffered every imaginable pain. You have lied and been lied about. You have betrayed and been betrayed. It's part of the wonderful thing called life. Take a deep breath and embrace yourself and just know that this person acted from his limited knowledge and experience. If you would You see, I'm tempted to go to one of the processes right here, that if you allow your eyes to close and just make the statement, no one owes me apology for any harm done to me. And then you will add the statement, you acted from your limited knowledge and experience. When you make these two statements together, no one owes me apology for any wrong done to me. You acted from your limited knowledge and experience. This statement will take you to a place in your mind. You will see the people who this statement addresses. And by looking into their faces and making this statement in your mind, within 5 minutes, you are going to experience huge freedom, because you feel, you come to the truth that that is what it is. No one really owes me apology. They did the best they know how, based on their limited knowledge and experience. Based on the same limited knowledge and experience, they do not even know that they are wrong to even come and apologize. But I owe it to me to enjoy the magnificent life that I am. Life is an adventure. Sometimes when you are doing mountain climbing, you scrape your body a little bit. It's part of the adventure.
Right.
Life cares only the success story you make out of your life challenges, not the challenge. Mm-hmm. Life does not care about your pain. You can talk about your pain, the sun will rise and set. The air will continue to blow as it is. Life does not care about your pain. Life cares what you do with your pain. So anyone can try it now. No one owes me apology for any harm done to me. You acted from your limited knowledge and experience. These two statements are enough to cleanse a lot of the mental viruses that produce fear, hate, anger, and jealousy that cloud your mind and your creativity. The second part of this principle says that no one owes you gratitude for any good you have done. And that's because in needing gratitude, you are stopping yourself from doing the next good. And the truth is that no one does good. Nature, life, does its good through you. As the birds eat of the fruit, they promote the fruit by their dropping. From their dropping, they plant the seeds as they go along. So nature is about promoting itself, magnifying itself, encouraging itself, and supporting itself. So nature supported somebody through you. Just as nature supported the tree to have its other trees through the bed, nature also supports other people through you. The money or the resources you had to do that good came from life. In needing somebody to come and thank you, you are saying, I'm no more going to do good until the person comes to thank me. In other words, you are stopping nature from doing the next good through you. And in so doing, you stop yourself from experiencing good, creativity, love, joy. Do you see how we go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So bringing yourself in harmony with nature, you come to know no one owes me gratitude. You know, in Africa, for example, in Ghana especially, if you did something good, great good for me, I will not come and thank you. I will have to go and find an elderly or respectable person in the community to come and thank you. Now, this person may probably have to look for another elderly person to come with, and this may take maybe 2-3 weeks. Assuming you've done something good for me, and then I've not come to say thank you, in 3-4 weeks, you start thinking, Ishmael is an ungrateful person. He's insensitive. He's bad. Those words you are using are in your mind, not in my mind, and they have become viruses interfering with your own mental processes. So in needing gratitude, you are creating, one, you are blocking the flow of nature's goodness through you. Two, you are creating mental viruses that are interfering with your good. So if you are not stepping into riches, health, into abundance and mental clarity, you are creating it. You owe it yourself to be grateful when you realize something good has happened to you. But believe me, it takes some people a long time to realize that some good has even happened to them. We've all been through school, and we know that everybody has different learning rates. So how do you hope that this person has seen the good? You are simply an instrument of nature through whom nature, life, does its good. Your joy is that life has done some good through you, and you are grateful for the opportunity that life chose you to do that good. When you are in that state of, I am grateful for the opportunity that life chose me to do good for this community, to this person, that connects you to nature's goodness, and nature does more good through you. And when nature's resources pass through you to others, you are the first recipient of that wealth, of that joy. I tell a story of a young boy who at Christmas time received a gift from their pastor. The mother is a single mother because the husband died, a widow, and she's been living alone, so the pastor visits them once in a while, and at Christmas bought a nice bike for the son. And when the pastor gave the bike to the son quickly ran upstairs and did not say thank you to the pastor. Very polite, very well-cultured, well-mannered family. For hours, the boy would not come down to say thank you. So they've got concerned. The mother knows, this is not my son. So they went up to reprimand James. James, you're so rude. You don't come to say thank you to the pastor. When they opened the door and went in, James had spread all the encyclopedia and the dictionaries on the floor. He said, this is what I've been praying for all along, and it's just happened. So I'm looking for a bigger word than thank you to come and say to the pastor.
Oh, wow. Talk about gratitude.
Yes.
Wow.
But the time that he hadn't come down to say thank you, can you imagine the thoughts going on in the parents' mind?
Yes.
In the mother's mind, in the pastor's mind, what a wicked boy, what a bad boy. By saying wicked, the mind does not know words. The mind files pictures of the words you say. So the mind files picture of wickedness in your own mind, who is thinking that the boy is wicked. And that picture of wickedness is interfering with your mental process right now. Expand this on a larger scale, and you see what I'm talking about. So the second principle says that no one owes you apology for any harm done to you, and no one owes you gratitude for any good you have done. You owe it yourself to apologize when you realize that you've done something wrong. And it's very good when you realize you have done something wrong to go through the ritual of saying, I am sorry. I am sorry simply means that I have become wiser than ever before. I am sorry does not mean that you were bad and you were wrong. The act of saying, I am sorry, is the ritual that takes you from the error into the aftermath of the error. After the error, I am now wiser than ever before. And when you realize the error and you don't apologize, you continue to be focusing on that error because you've not erased it from your mind. Similarly, you owe it to yourself to be grateful when you realize that something good has happened to you, because when you express and exercise gratitude, it connects you to the good. And you know, in African spirituality, gratitude has to be done in the three steps. The three steps are, I'm grateful to, I'm grateful for, and the benefit. I'm grateful to James for paying my school fees that has now provided me with a career. You see the three steps?
Yes.
I'm grateful to James for paying my school fees that provided me with a career. So grateful to, for, and the benefit.
Oh, wow.
Your gratitude must go that way.
Now,
when you say, I'm grateful to James for doing the good, you connect to the spiritual vibration of that goodness that expressed through him. Grateful for connects you to the manifestation, so you are in manifestation zone of good. And then the benefit makes the logical mind know that really goodness is expressing as you, because you now see the benefit, and the benefit actually invites true energy of gratitude. When something good has been done to you and you don't feel the benefit, thank you is just lip service. But when you feel the benefit, it evokes the energy of the gratitude from you into manifestation, and you become a being that attracts more of that good.
Yes.
I have a whole spiritual practice on gratitude, teaching the three steps of gratitude and the five types of gratitude. But that is not our discussion for today. So I believe you understand
before we
the second principle.
To the next, principal, before we move to that, I want to take a quick break. And I just want to let listeners know where to find you, your website. If you're just joining us, my guest is Brother Ishmael Tete, an African mystic. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the healing. I'm having my soul be processed as I listen. Yeah, his website address is ConsciousHumanity.com, ConsciousHumanity.com. You can find out more about him, about his work, so much more that we don't even have time to cover right now. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We are taking your questions. You come in if you have any. I know people are just digesting the soul food. If you have a question, feel free to call in. If you're listening on the phone already, just press 1 on your keypad, 347-426-3346. We're taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. You can post your questions there. Ask Life Coach Ade, A-D-E, Life Coach A-D-E. Fan page on Facebook, or you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's an Ask Life Coach Ade tab if you don't do Facebook. We're going to take a break, and we're going to do Celestial Moment, and we're going to come back to Brother Ishmael Tete. Check out his website, consciousHumanity.com. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom. You ready? Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. It is about waking up and being the change you want to see and embrace nature as your teacher and stay open and be receptive to what is flowing through Brother Ishmael Tete. And it's time for a celestial moment. We're going to do that and then come back to Brother Ishmael. It's time for celestial moment. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am great. I am wonderful. As a matter of fact, I got a question from, I'm not going to call them out, a family member. Hello, Brother Ishmael and Life Coach Ade. And I'm going to say, you know the power of a conversation when it sparks conversation through a text that I'm going to have to follow up with later. But I'm going to say this right now. The water is there. Press one. Jump in. Okay, I'm done.
So you're saying the conversation is sparking the conversation, and they have a question, but they don't want to call in and ask the question.
Right. They need clarification.
It's about a core philosophy that says, I think it's a core philosophy of that person. It's like, I don't want to put it out there because I don't, you know, whatever they don't. I don't even know what they don't want to don't.
It's like
so
clarify. You want clarification? Do it. Come on.
Call in, yes.
Please. Anyway, I'm having a wonderful time. Let me get to it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Thursday, May 10th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2027. Add 2027 and the energy of the day equals 11. 11 is a master number and it doubles in power when you tap into it. 11 is said to be the most intuitive of all numbers, representing illumination, a channel to the subconscious. 11 is a dreamer. It also expresses in tarot as the strength card and or the justice card, depending on your tarot deck. I recognize 11 naturally as strength. That's how it runs in Mother Peace Tarot. The 11th animal in the medicine cards is the moose, and its gift is the medicine of strong, healthy self-esteem. The 11th letter of the alphabet is K, and words like kinship, kingdom, and karma connect us to the magical power of 11. Now today, for a special treat, we're going to play with the prairie dog. Its number is not 11, it's actually 47, but when you add 4 plus 7, you get 11. So here we go. Prairie dog calls me when it's time to rest, when it's time to honor the internal quest. I go into retreat so I may see a way to replenish the potential in me. In our fast-paced lives, we forget that strength and inspiration can be found in retreating into the stillness that quiets the mind. Want to access gifts of inspiration and renewal? Then be at peace with yourself and rested enough to recognize blessings being offered. How? We create our own magic when we slow down to see the beauty in all beings and things. So this weekend, do yourself a favor. No, wait, do the world a favor. Offer your expression of love from a place of authenticity. I have a retreat song. I use these words to align. Take time to get away, free your mind, and fly away. Find something fun to do and spend some time with you. Retreat can be quiet, and you can also retreat into music. Commit to finding your own retreat song to help you relax. Try some Wedisi, India Ari, Cynthia Jane. You can even check out a radio show. You've got places to go today to maintain your glow in the flow. Give yourself a true head start, like any master this weekend. Listen to our friend the Prairie Dog. You get to choose how you play and rest today. Begin all adventures with peaceful rest and see just how far you go. And that's the story of 11, told through the prairie dog from the medicine cards. I'll see you on Monday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you, and have a wonderful, restful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate that. Strength and inspiration. Brother Ishmael, I know we want to go into the third principle, but we got a question here, and another question was activated, stimulated by what Celeste shared. But before I do that, let me ask this. Monica wants to, but she said, no one owes me an apology. They were doing the best and the best they knew. She said, now, is it up to me to go on with my life? That's the question from a listener. Monica.
Beautiful. Yes, in needing apology, you will not be going on with your life anyway. Your life is stalled. You have a virus that is now stopping something in you. And, you know, this will affect you spiritually, socially, psychologically, physically. You start having disease because some energy is activated in you, stopping expression. Sometimes disease, physical disease, is the lack of the expression of you. Something is stalled, something is stuck inside you. Something stuck inside you can become a tumor. So we need always to be expressive, but in needing apology, you are stopped. You are stuck. You are getting into tumor consciousness. But when you release yourself, your life goes on. Your life naturally goes on. You are entitled to you. You deserve you. Please come back home to you. That friend has been waiting for you for so long.
I like that. So let's say another question I want to ask you before we go to the third principle. What Celeste was saying, what you're sharing is activating something for a particular listener. They have a question, they need clarity, but they don't want to ask you who are the ones sharing it. But I want to take the focus off the person, but humanity sometimes, well, no, sometimes, we have a need or there's something about us where we're interacting with someone. It could be a wife, a husband, our children, neighbors. And we have a question, but we won't ask them. We'll go ask somebody else. What is that about, and how can those of us who choose to be awake actually break that pattern? So if we have a question, we come directly to the person rather than go and ask somebody else and we create another story.
It is fear. You know, it's very interesting. It's not only in the home. It's everywhere. Something is happening between you and your boss, and instead of addressing it with your boss, you come home and then you take it on your wife. Or your
right.
children, or you come and tell your wife who cannot do anything about what is happening in your
right.
And that's because of the same viruses that I'm talking about. For example, in needing to be, well, that's taking it to principle three, in needing apology, in needing gratitude, you are stopping yourself. If I go and ask my boss this, he will think I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But you stop yourself from asking, and when we get to principle three, it will even enlighten us more to know why some people just stop themselves from being the highest they can be.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm. Wow, it's amazing. Fear, embarrassment, rather than just face it and be in the flow, and you know, everything you've shared about how we look at gratitude and things that happen to us. For me, what it brings up is, there's a conversation that when you do what you love, you'll be in the flow. When we embrace nature as a teacher, what I'm hearing is we become part of the flow of life. There's always in motion. We're always part of the current of life, and then we can really feel that oneness with God everywhere. I love it. So
it is difficult for people to embrace what they love. We embrace what we perceive other people think we should love.
Mm. Mm.
That takes us to principle three. Apart from food, clothing, and shelter, the one need of every human being on the planet is the need to be understood. When we are understood, we feel loved. We feel we are receiving the needed attention. We feel supported, we feel heard. So when we are understood, we feel like life is running as it should. And in fact, the Bible enjoins us that with all of your getting, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The question I ask my listeners, do you need to be understood? How many really need to be understood? Are you one of those who need to be understood? If yes, then I'll tell you that is one of the biggest problems of humanity, needing to be understood.
Wow.
No.
Well, I'm listening attentively to this one.
Nature did not create you to be understood.
Hmm.
You are not meant to be understood. You are a mystery. You are a gift that is being unwrapped. You are a flower that is opening up and nobody can predict its colors. You have to participate in the magic of your life. Release yourself from the need to be understood. In needing to be understood, you are never authentic. You are always trying to shape yourself, change your manners, do things to suit what you perceive the other person is expecting of you. And the other person's opinion is also changing based on what he also thinks somebody else's opinion is about him.
Mm-hmm.
So you never end satisfying anyone in needing to be understood. In needing to be understood, you are always lying. You are always pretending. You cannot be yourself. In needing to be understood, you cannot live and fulfill your own dream. You cannot. Because the dream is in the mind of the dreamer. And nobody sees the dream that is in the mind of the dreamer. Dare dream your own dream and ask yourself, why not? Dream of the impossible and ask yourself, why not? And when your dream does not make you lose sleep, when your dream does not make you shake and quake, when it does not give you fear, when sometimes you don't panic at your dream, then it is not big enough.
Hmm.
But when your dream sometimes make you lose sleep, then you know that you have something bigger calling you to step into your greatness. And when no one sees your dream or understands your dream, it's normal, because the dream is in the mind of the dreamer, not in those who hear of the dream. And when no one believes in your dream, then you have a calling to make the dream be manifested. If the dream could be dreamed by everybody, it's no more a dream. It's a commonplace thing.
That's true.
So it's okay for you to dream your dream. And if no one understands you, no one understands me means that you are so big, so huge, so magnificent that their little minds cannot encompass or embrace who and what you are in your magic. So take a deep breath now and realize that I release myself from the need to be understood. It's not possible for me to be understood. There are many times you surprise yourself. You do things that surprise you, meaning that you don't know and understand you. When you don't know and understand you, how do you hope somebody will know and understand you completely? Understanding is a temporary gift we get in a moment. And when we get an understanding, when I get an understanding about James this moment, I must not use that as a measure for the next moment, because James is changing. Julie is changing. You participate in the magic of life when you know that we are all energy systems. You see, you are not here. Nature, life, has come into its being as you. You are the breath of the air that you are breathing. You are the light of the sun that is shining on you. You are the waters that you are drinking. And you are the earth that you are walking upon. Fire, water, earth, and air, and the ethers have come together as a life that you are, and everybody is here as another representation of life. Everybody, therefore, is a magic, a wonderment. And you participate in the magic when you experience everybody in freshness and in newness. The person you saw a moment ago is not the same person now.
Nice.
New thoughts, new ideas, new emotions are arising in the person, making the person a different person a moment ago. Nobody walks in the same river twice, because the waters are flowing and changing. So you need to come to it that I release myself from the need to be understood, because I'm a magic, I'm a mystery. It's okay if I'm not understood. My understanding of me is all that is needed. I have simply a calling to express the magic and the wonderment of my life, and that is all. This will enable you to dream your dream. This will enable you to ask questions. This will make you realize that there are no failures, because life cannot fail itself as you. It's impossible for life to fail itself, and there's no one for you to be compared with, for you to be described as a failure and somebody a success. We say that somebody is excellent when the person has exceeded his or her own target, not when the person has beaten somebody in the race. When you exceed your own target, you are excellent. So right where you are the very excellence of life unfolding. This frees you from all of those mental viruses, and you are able to live with you, to experience you, to enjoy you, to be more fully you. Then you can do the things you love. Maybe if you have any question, I can expand now. Because these three principles are enough to change everybody's life. Make you come home to you. And there are 18 principles in that book. The book is called The Way Forward.
Nature's Principles and Practices for Empowered Living.
My passion is to have well-being in our lifetime. I speak of peace, it sounds impossible. But peace is simply the activation and free expression of your innate potential. Innately, we are loaded and coded with substance of divine goodness. When you were in the womb, you did not pray for your mother's breast to be filled with milk. Life went ahead of you providing all the milk you will need. And in fact, the first breast milk you took, colostrum, contained antibiotics for your weak body. But when you were in the womb, you were receiving oxygen from liquid, fluid. At the time you were born, you received a huge infusion of wisdom that made you know how to shut the doors to the old addiction of receiving nourishment and oxygen from fluid. And you instantly had the wisdom to know how to breathe and even to use your lips. That was a miracle that occurred. That ability for you to switch into magnificence and receive huge infusion of knowledge. You know, the sperm and the ovum can survive only 3 days on their own. But when they fuse in the womb, they lived for 300 days, meaning you have lived 100 lifetimes. 100 lifetimes receiving. Then suddenly, you know how to receive oxygen from the air without going to school. A power in nature infuse itself into you and give you the needed wisdom at the right time, at the right place, when you know how to return to that moment in the womb. There is a place in your memory. I call it the womb of birthing. And in that place, you can connect with that infusion power of nature. It will fill you with the wisdom that you need for you to step into your greatness, to dream your dream and be you. Everybody is coded with that ability. But when you are living a life of running away from pain, somebody's against me, something's against me, when you live a life of somebody owes me apology and I want to live with the pain, I want to remember the pain, I want to magnify the pain, somebody owes me gratitude and I will no more do good, and you are stopping the flow of nature's good through you. When you live a life of somebody must understand me, so you are always not sure of yourself, you are in fear, you are in anxiety, you don't know what's going to happen to you, they won't understand me, you are panicking, all of those shades of fear, anger, grief, sorrow, guilt and apathy are all coming through your life because you are not in harmony with these three nature principles. When you kill the viruses, the hard drive of your consciousness will be clean and clear, and nature will do its magnificence through you. It did it on the first day when you were born. It instantly gave you the wisdom to know how to shut your door to the old addiction of pity-petty partying, the old addiction of receiving oxygen from fluid. The same way, you can switch from the addiction of poverty, lack, and limitation. The addiction of anger, hate, and fear, you can switch from it to a new life of peace, love, and joy. You can switch to prosperity. I wish you were in California here, because I'm doing the master workshop in Agape this coming Saturday and teaching these secrets and taking people through the processes for them to experience it for themselves.
Is it going to be streamed online? Do you know?
No. It's a whole day workshop.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to read something just about the release yourself from the need to be understood. And because that's like shifting thing inside of me right now. After the show, I got to sit with that. But I'm reading your book. You said, if you can predict your every move and the every move of others, you will soon be bored with yourself and with life. Now, I know that to be true. But this is the one that made my head go back and forth. Nature created you a complex and mysterious being, too mysterious to be understood.
Woo! That's correct. That's correct.
I got to breathe. I got to take
a
breath.
It is possible
with that
for
one.
You
else
to know everything. And you are not meant to know everything. You are simply to participate in what nature is expressing through other units. That's all.
Brother Ishmael. I just want to give the listeners, the website address is conscioushumanity.com. But I know we're reaching the time, I agree time. Can you stay for two more questions, because there's one particular question about spirituality in Africa that I want to ask you. Can you stay a little bit longer,
yes,
for about 10 more minutes? Okay, great. Now, so much is going on for me now, but I initially had a question I wanted to ask you. I'm from Nigeria, and religion is taking hold in Nigeria. And this conversation that you and I are having, that the listeners are listening to some people in Nigeria thinking that's the devil's word, that's the devil's conversation. There are some religions that teach that, you know, you shouldn't focus on your ancestors, you should just think of Allah or God. Now, somebody else who's listening to the show just asked me, we're listening to what you were saying, and they said, is he from Ghana? Do they teach things? They teach things like that in Ghana? So it's a surprise. Can you speak to what, I think of Nigeria, how religion has really just done what it's done. Yeah, I just leave it as that, because I'm going to watch my own thoughts because I catch the effects. Can you speak to what is happening in some countries when it comes to the embracing nature as a teacher, as well as embracing our ancestors and spirituality?
The truth is that all of the great world teachers taught from nature, but we are not listening. Mm-hmm. In the teaching of Jesus, parable of the sower, parable of the fig tree, parable of the vineyards, these are all nature. Jesus was using nature, telling you that this is how it happens in nature, and that is the way your life has to go. So it's all about nature.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about ancestors, I feel very passionate. You see, the flower that ignores its roots dies. Your ancestors are your roots. Of all the commandments in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, there is only one commandment that comes with a promise. It says, honor your father and your mother so that your days will be long. That's the only commandment that comes with a promise. Honor your father and your mother. To honor somebody is to give attention to what is praiseworthy in the person and to promote it. That is honoring somebody. Now, whether you are aware of it or not, at least science has given us the knowledge that we are constituted of the genes of our mother and of our father. And you are not only constituted of the biological genes, you are also constituted of the spiritual, social, psychological, emotional, all of the genes of your parents. In other words, you are constituted of the psychic genes, the soul genes of your parents. So the seeds of your parents are already inside you. By identifying what is praiseworthy in your father and mother, you are actually watering those seeds in yourself. This is why, by identifying the good in your parents and promoting that, you also increase. Hence, Bible says, honor your father and your mother so your days will be long. Your days will be long means you will increase, you become more spiritually, socially, psychologically, physically, financially. Your days will increase. Jesus lived for only 33 years, but his days increased because there was great wisdom through him. So your days will increase means your wisdom will become more. So in honoring our parents, we are actually honoring ourselves and promoting ourselves, because the flower that ignores its roots dies. You see, in Africa, we are actually being destroyed greatly by religion than being promoted by religion. They tell you that worshipping your praying to your ancestors is evil, but we have All Saints Day. What's the difference between a saint and an ancestor? They are all souls of the departed. Mm-hmm. Who can help you better? Saint Olufemi, who is your grandfather, and Saint Bonaparte, who you do not know. Which of these can help you better?
No, that's right. Especially with a name like Olufemi, God loves me. Yes, indeed.
You've been marginalized, and this is sometimes I feel like it's like a conscious programming to make Africans look down on themselves, look down on their values. We are brainwashed to believe that everything African is evil, so we have different tag names to whatever is African. The place where we pray is called shrine. The place where they pray is called altar. And such like things. So, your skin color is evil. Let me tell you, there will be no true awakening for Africa until we return to our culture. Destroy the culture of the people and you destroy their creativity.
Yes.
Because culture gives them a sense of identity. So when you destroy the culture of a people, you destroy their sense of identity. When you destroy somebody's sense of identity, you destroy their sense of creativity and beingness. Watch Africa. Every African country is suffering because we are all being taken away from our culture. All nations that have made it from their culture.
Yes.
When Britain realized that Christianity was coming to England and they now have to go Roman Catholic, they decided, no, we need Christianity based on British culture, and that is Anglo-Catholic Church, Anglican for short. Indians are in their culture. Malaysians are in their culture. And watch them. They are all evolving. If you want to develop, you don't develop by replacing yourself, by importing traditions, knowledge, and thinking to replace yourself. You develop by evolving what you are to what you want it to be. You don't destroy what you are and import something to develop you. It does not work.
Oh. Ooh,
it
gosh.
Never work. So Africa, we need to wake up to realize that God has not made mistake in creating us for who and what we are. We are made to believe our skin color is evil, everything African is evil. And people who believe they are wrong, they are evil, can never rise. When Japan realized that Christianity was coming in, Buddhism, Islam, they said, no, we need a religion based on Japanese culture. They created one, a national religion in Japan. It's called Shintoism. So we see the wise ones realize that to develop, you have to develop from who and what you are to what you want to be. You don't develop by replacing you. It doesn't work. And we are not alone. My ministry is the only church in Ghana where once in a year, every 2 years we do it, we invite Muslims, Hindus, Christians, traditionalists, and we all worship, praise, and thank God together. Because it is one life. Let's get it clear. Everything other than unified consciousness is hell. Hell is anything that gives us a sense of separation. See, we all have different shapes of noses, but we all breathe the same air. So let's stop the Britons. We are one. We have different shades of skin colors, white skin, blue skin, yellow skin, whatever skin you call it, yet we are breathing the same air. Humanity is one being. My vision is that of a unified world in which everyone is a catalyst for the activation and promotion of the innate good in one another. And that world is not a world in which we destroy each other from the place where we are. You don't use what you are to destroy somebody else. That is hell. So, that's what I can say. My ministry is, deeply founded in the teachings of Jesus. But there's a huge difference between Jesus and the church. The teaching of Jesus is totally, sometimes, different, totally opposite from what is taught in the church.
Yes, yes.
The Christian ministry commands us to do one thing. In Philippians 2:5, now let me go a bit biblical. In Philippians 2:5, Bible says, let this mind be in you that also was in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God did not count it robbery to be equal to God. We are all created in the spiritual image and likeness of God. Genesis 1:26-28. So, the scripture here in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 6 is true. Have that mind that was in Jesus, that did not count it, that it was guilty, wrong to say, I am God. So it means that mind is transportable. Have that mind, which means it was in somebody and somebody and somebody, and also was in Jesus. That mind that does not count it robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
It's huge. And what was Jesus teaching? Jesus started his ministry in Matthew 3:2. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning the whole power, love, and the presence of God is within your reach. At hand means within your reach. The logical question they asked him was, where is this kingdom? Where can we find it? In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, he explained that it's not coming with observation for you to see and say, here it is or there it is. For behold, the kingdom is within you. Meaning that the power, love, and the presence of God is within every human person. If the church were teaching this, then we will wake up to realize that we are the expression of God, and when I look at you and I see you as another expression of God, I will respect you. I will honor you.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I dare not hurt the anointed expression of God that you are. This is the teaching of Jesus, in summary. But when we move away from this teaching, then we start practicing something else, and we are practicing segregation. And Jesus came for unity, unity of religion, unity of oneness. In his master teaching, he taught that love God and your neighbor as yourself. God, they have an idea, so they ask, who is their neighbor? In Luke chapter 10, he gave the story of the Good Samaritan, teaching Jews that the Samaritan is your neighbor and you must love them as yourself. And according to Bible, Samaritans and the Jews were arch enemies due to religious difference. And Jesus was telling them, love them as yourself. Jesus was a practical demonstration of his teaching. He did not end there. In John chapter 4, Jesus was in the land of Samaria, something a Jew will never do. Because according to Bible, they don't walk the same side of the road. But he was in the land of Samaria. That was an abomination. Speaking with a woman of Samaria, abomination number 2. Asking for water from Samaria, well, abomination number 3. The woman is a likely prostitute, and prophets don't speak to such people. Abomination number 4. Jesus did all this to demonstrate the oneness that goes beyond religious boundaries. Racial boundaries, no cultural boundaries. We are one. And we are to experience and enjoy our diversity. If you woke up one day to realize that you are alone on the planet, you won't like it. Again, if you woke up one day to realize that there are many people on the planet, but everybody has become as good as you, to the extent that when you smile, everybody is smiling. When you you jump, everybody jumps at the same time. You will not like it. It's boring. It will essentially be one person on the planet. You want some to be tall, some to be short, some to speak some language, some to do something. I mean, we want variety. We came to experience the variety of the wonderment of life's magic. So that's my take. I feel very passionate in that question because the three objectives of Ethereum mission, the word Ethereum means heaven, of the heavens, ethereal. We want to bring heaven on earth here and now. If you don't experience heaven now, you won't experience it after death. If you don't know Pythagoras' theorem and you go to sleep, you won't wake up knowing it. So you better know it now. So we teach the principles for people to activate their God power here and now. Our second objective is oneness of life, to show how we are all one, irrespective of our race, religion, creed, or culture, so we can celebrate our diversity and the magic of nature in each one of us. And our third mission is to restore the mystical traditions of Africa through the study of nature's principles. The African religion is founded in nature. When you see our traditional priests go to the river year after year to bless the river and do their rituals to bless the river, we consider that as evil and fetish. What makes it wrong to bless the river, but it is okay to bless the fish on your table? What makes it wrong to bless the spot where the fish comes from?
Yes.
Why can't all the whole community come together and say, let's bless the source where the fish comes from, but it's okay to bless the fish on your table? This is spiritual hypocrisy and ignorance.
My whole body is
positively to that.
Ah,
thank you. One of the listeners said, she said, Rebecca, she said, I'm in the same place of awe. Yes, he has blown my hair back. He has provided much thought for meditation. She said, I have always worked so hard to be understood. Oh, my God. This is so releasing. She said, my emails will be much shorter. So it's seeking to be understood. She, you know, I definitely can relate to that. So now her emails will be shorter. And we have Tamara said, what an amazing show. It is one I will be listening to over and over again. Before you go, okay, I'll leave that question alone. You said you're doing something at Agape this Saturday. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? And for those who are listening that live in LA, and if they want to, you know, maybe attend it, can you tell us more about it?
Right. It's this Saturday from 10 a.m. You can find some information about it on our website and also in agapelife.com, where you can get your tickets to participate. It's a whole day workshop. We call it the Overflow in Nature. It's simply teaching you some deep nature secrets, and it's more. The whole day is like processes. We spend about an hour or two to teach, and then we spend the day getting you to the process so you can connect to your overflow. I realize that many good people do not know how to make wealth. I closed down my vibrant computer company in Ghana. I was having the third largest computer company in Ghana. I folded it in 96 so I can travel the world and teach. So I believe that people following these principles of nature can also make it abundantly and enjoy health and wealth. So the whole secret will be teaching you how to enjoy abundance of health, abundance of wealth, abundance of money, abundance of joy, and show you how to connect. We shall go to the womb and show you how to find your memory spaces of power. There's so much talk about the power is in the present, which is true, but actually, the present is an experience flowing into the past. And by the time you talk of the present has become the past. The power is more in your past. The past is the reservoir of knowledge system that you can go into, tap into, and use. The present is a floating, flowing experience. There are always two, the past and the future. The future evokes the past. It brings possibilities and knowledge of the past and remanages them into something new and beautiful. And we are going to learn this and go through the experience. The goal is by the time we finish, you must be transformed right in the workshop. So it's a process for you to discover nature's secrets, the nature four steps for you to manifest your great good. Unlock the real secret of attraction in this program. It's an all-day experiential program. I mean, if you do not participate, you will hear the good news and you will really clench. But let me share something briefly. To my listeners, I want to tell you, money is the only reason why you are here. But you yourself agree with me, money is the only reason why everybody is here on the planet.
That money is the only reason we're here on the planet?
Yes. Do you agree?
Can I call a friend? I don't know. Can I use another lifeline? I don't know about that one.
Okay.
What a trick question.
The person is they know that all humanity, the money is the only reason why we are here. And when I say this, it shocks many people.
I'm like, wait, I can't even say anything. I'm like, okay, I got to listen for this one.
We are going to talk about that on Saturday and go deeper and show how we create the blocks to money. Money is the symbol for the value of service rendered. Money is the symbol for the value of service rendered. Service is the release of your energy to benefit another. We are here on earth to give service, to release our service energy to benefit others. That service energy is called money. The symbol for that service energy is called money. So if we are here for service, then we are here for money. The quality and the quantity of the service determines your inflow of money. If you don't feel comfortable with this statement that money is the only reason why I'm here, you will not attract it. Attracting it becomes a struggle. Everybody wants it, yet everybody is playing shy and guilt and shame about it. So we have psychological and psychic patterns that are interfering with our attraction. We shall learn the techniques of breaking through them so we can attract money. People who are not attracting money are also experiencing problem in health and so on because they want money and they're still feeling shame about it, and that shame is creating mental, emotional, internal pictures which are causing even physical diseases. So let go now and come and learn the secrets of money. My 27th book will come out in the fall. It's called Successful Creation of Wealth. And we'll put some of these secrets in. But come and get the real experience this Saturday and know what money is all about and know what health is. We have the definition for health and for you to know all of these, to know how to step into them.
Man, I don't even know what to say. I feel like my consciousness has just went through a spiritual power wash. You know, I feel like my mind has just gone to a gym and it's been stretched. And so
Thank you.
Won't say much because I probably won't even make sense right now. You just introduced so much paradigm shift about the past, the present. Money is the reason we're here. Woo, Brother Ishmael Tese, thank you for
thank
who
you
for are.
Opportunity.
Thank you for keeping the creativity, the wisdom, the story of Africa alive.
if there's
just a few of you doing it.
Give me a moment to speak about my last book that came out, my 26th book.
Oh, sure. We got another 10 minutes. Go for it.
Right. That book is called Essential Life Education. It's a book that I believe everybody must have on the planet. It's my World Peace Program book. It is a book that will give you inner peace for you to express peace so that together we can have world peace. When you look at civilization as it is today, we are on the precipice of collapsing unless all of us come together and do something urgently. The present civilization is based on structures, computers, high-rise buildings, roads, political, socio-economic structures, and laws. These are all good. But what you and I need most, you will agree with me, is just relationship.
Yes.
What we need most is relationship. We have our PhDs, but we don't go to have degrees in relationship. Relationship must be taught from birth. Because from birth till death, you are bound to live with yourself and to relate. This book provides two powerful knowledge systems. Knowledge of the self, who and what you are as a male-female being in your gender. You are a male-female being. If you don't know this, you will not know how, as a man, you can activate your female qualities to mix with your male qualities to create your desire. Just as a man and a woman may meet and create a child, there are ways to activate your male and female components to create your desire. And if you don't know this, then you are just half empty or one-tenth empty. So you need to know who and what you are in your gender. We call it gender coding. And you need to know who and what you are in your persona. Who are you as a spiritual being? What is the spirit that lives in you? You need to know that good that you are. And in fact, you need to also know how to use the good you are. Otherwise, the good nature you have will become the worst problem you will ever have. Our good natures need to be schooled more than our bad natures. And the book will explain why.
What's the name of the book again, Brother Ishmael?
Essential Life Education. ELED for short. Essential. And if you go to YouTube and type Essential Life Education, I have put some free videos there. And I've even put the introduction on how to study Essential Life Education, 30 minutes also, on the website. So there's a 4 minutes on YouTube. You can just go and play and know. In fact, you go through the introduction alone and your life will change. Marriages are simply healed. Relationships are just healed by people just listening to Essential Life Education. Because now you know why you do what you do. And you know why the other person does what he or she does. Essential Life Education. will teach you who and what you are in your gender, your persona, and your senses. People think the senses are just sight, smell, taste, hearing, and touch. They are just ordinary things, but they are four forces in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you see, hear, and taste that offends you. Am I right?
Mm, yes.
And you need to know how to identify your thoughts and the thoughts that your senses bring to you.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts you are thinking are all not thoughts that you are thinking. Most of the thoughts you are thinking are the thoughts your senses brought to you. And if you don't know your senses, you will not know when they are bringing you some thoughts, and the thoughts will run your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are sense-driven, then you are lost. You are no more fulfilling you. When somebody is said that he hasn't got willpower, it means the person is now driven by the senses. So the willpower is gone. And to the degree that your senses are controlling you, you don't have willpower.
Mm.
All the talks about immorality will come to nothing until we teach the youth and everybody how to rule our lives with the senses. So when you know who you are in your gender, persona, and senses, that becomes your GPS that navigates you in life.
Gender, persona, and senses. I love it. Gender,
that
persona,
your
and
GPS.
Senses. GPS. Yes, indeed. Oh,
and
my
from
God.
There, you will know, when I know my GPS and I know your GPS, then we can now learn how to relate. Then when you are communicating with me, I will know whether you are a sense of sight person and how to speak sense of sight language. Sense of hearing person, and I know how to speak sense of hearing language. Because if you are a hearing person and I bought you a Rolls Royce, my darling wife, here is a Rolls Royce car for you, you'll be happy. Tomorrow she will ask you, darling, do you love me? She's seen what you have done, but she's not heard it.
Right.
And if we don't know this, we even don't know how we learn. My daughter, when she was in the primary school, it's my policy to teach my children myself, and even when I travel, I'll take the phone and call them and do their homeworks with them. And whenever I was teaching her anything and she couldn't get it easily, we sit by the table, and I put my arm around her. She will understand because she operates from the sense of touch. So these and many others are covered in the book, showing you how to experience your own personal inner peace. Please, it's not because I wrote it, I want people to buy it. It is your key to your own inner peace.
Yes.
The way forward, and then E-LED, we are having people raving about it. They just go through 30 minutes program on the website and they rave. And I mean, join us now. And together, we can change humanity. My goal is to make this available in all school systems. We have essential life education for marriage, essential life education for courtship, essential life education for money, essential life education for... Because everything you do in life is about yourself and relationship. Financial relationship, social relationship, and environmental relationship. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I feel like I've had a
Saturday, actually,
spiritual power.
E-LED will be the foundation of the whole teaching in Agape on Saturday. Then we go into how you operate. When I know how I operate and I know how you operate, then we can cooperate.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Ooh, talk about that spiritual colonics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who I am right now. I have to learn about me. Brother Ishmael Tete, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So the two works,
thank you.
Essential Life Education and then the Way Forward book, please get it, not because I wrote them, but because you need to have your inner peace. You need to bring yourself in alignment with nature. You need to know who and what you are and how you operate in the practical way, not theoretical, not who. You do some simple things and you know this is the way I operate.
Indeed. Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity
welcome.
To serve your audience through your program. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. You gave me a gift. When we got the email, it was confirmed. Ooh, I was dancing. I was excited. I've been waiting for this opportunity for a long time, so thank you. And thank you,
Thank you, Reverend.
Appreciate you. Wow, you've been touched by an African mystic. I don't have to say much. I don't have to say anything, really, other than just release the show. What a blessing. What a blessing. I have to listen to the show over again. And don't seek to be understood. Oh, my God. I'm going to be a whole. I have to work with that one. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be love. It is the truth of who you are. Be true to yourself. Don't have anybody understand you. That's not necessary. And allow the love to come back to you. Be loved. Check out Brother Ishmael. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter. The Twitter handle is, what is it, Conscious Human. You can find him on Twitter, he's on Facebook, and ConsciousHumanity.com. And go to YouTube as well. The book is Essential Life Education. It's time to release the show. Nothing else I need to say. All I can say is just bless you, bless all, bless Brother Ishmael. And this is Ricky Byers, the Agape Choir again. It just makes sense to go out with this. Blessed always. I'm out of here. See you on Monday. Share the show with your friends. Download it. We'll be back on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings. Blessed always. AgapeLive.com. AgapeLive.com. I'm out of here.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.